Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Landon Tengwall. Landon, my friend, how are we doing today after Blue-White Weekend?
Doing great, Jim. It was a windy one out there, man. It definitely had a little bit of impact on the kickers and quarterbacks, but I think the fans had a good time, and it ended up by the end being somewhat of a nice day. So I hope a lot of Nittany Nation had a good time out there at Beaver Stadium this past Saturday.
Well, it finished up a lot better than it started. There were places, our big plans for tailgating went askew with the storm the night before, blew tents away. Just a crazy storm. We had to make some adjustments there, but all's well that ends well. Landon, we get to introduce a new partner today. We are at Keystone Sports. We're partnering with F45 Training in State College and their team of certified coaches. Great place. JR is in charge over there. Great guy. He puts together these wonderful classes. And what's really cool is they are running a special just for Keystone Sports Network listeners where you actually get your first 2 weeks for free. If you do your first class before the end of the month, you get 2 weeks free for it. And it's not just the workouts where you get essentially just like a personal trainer. They also have, I was just blown away by this machine. It was called, it's an InBody is the name of it, device. It measures everything with your body, so it's a great way then to measure your progress as you go. I'm assuming you guys did have something similar or even better on the football team that really helps you also with your workouts.
Yeah, Jim, we have something really similar. Kind of measures our body fat, tells you your muscle mass percentage, and kind of allows you to set those goals and chase after them. And then, something you can look at on paper instead of just looking at your weight and gets to see that muscle mass, where you're building the muscle mass, that type of thing. That's something that the InBody does as well over at F45. So very awesome to have that tool, and I highly recommend utilizing it if you step over to F45. They do awesome over there, man.
Oh, they really do. And check it out again before the end of the month. If you do that, you get your first 2 weeks for free. You get to try the InBody device, which is fantastic. If you've got any questions, you could call over there at 814-826-4045, and JR will take care of you. All right, Landon, we had a Blue-White game this weekend. First of all, got to feel a little strange for you on the outside watching it.
Yeah, it was different, Jim. It definitely was. We had our plans for the tailgate until I got a text from Jim at 6:45 that the tents were all down University Drive and all over the place. So we had to cancel those plans, which actually allowed me to go up in the press box pregame and do a pregame show with Blue and White Illustrated with T. Frank. That was a really cool time. I had a good time kind of going over some stuff before the game. And I think the fans had a good time listening, but it was different being on the sidelines and stuff. It was good to be around the boys again and be in Beaver Stadium. But I got a good look at some players, Jim, and even watched the tape again this morning. So I am excited to get into this and kind of give some analysis on what we saw yesterday.
All right, let's start at your area of expertise then, Landon. Let's start with the offensive line. And first of all, there were changes. Graduation, going NFL, the starting tackles, the starting center. Then the presumptive starters at tackles, Drew Shelton, Anthony Dunca, were out. I'll call the white team offensive line essentially the starting offensive line. What did you see for them? What stood out? And by the way, let's first of all just talk about that starting line was from left to right, Javen Williams, Vega Ioane, Nick Dawkins, Cooper Cousins, and Nolan Rucci. That's what I thought I saw, Landon.
It really wasn't the starting line. I think we were missing pretty much four guys that are going to start. And Anthony Donka, probably going to be the starter at right tackle, injured. Right guard, Sal Wormley, 60-year guy, might be a little banged up, not playing. Nick Dawkins did start at center. I think Nick did a great job. I'm kind of excited to see him continue to develop. Left guard, JB Nelson, was also out with an injury. And then left tackle Drew Shelton, also out with an injury. So we really didn't get a look at our true starting line that we're going to see week one. But I think we saw that we do have a lot of depth. We have guys that can handle some pretty good pass rushers. I do think there were times where both Javen and Nolan struggled a little bit in pass pro. Both didn't look super twitchy. They looked a little bit slower in their pass pro. And then Javen struggled with his hands. There was a couple times where Jameel Lyons, Amin Vanover, a couple different guys took advantage of Javen Williams in the pass game. Obviously both younger guys that got here, and it seems like both guys that are going to be depth guys and that second round of the offensive line, not those first string starters. But it was good to get them experience. I think they did pretty well in protecting whatever quarterback was back there, and the quarterbacks were switching it up a little bit since they had those light blue powder jerseys. But overall, I'm really happy with Cooper Cousins' performance. I was watching him again this morning pretty intently. I went through and watched the whole tape and kind of just tried to keep my eye on him for a while. And I really like his punch in pass pro. He does a good job stifling the rusher, not allowing a ton of penetration. He does struggle sometimes staying up on his feet. He can be a little bit off balance, but that's to be expected for someone who is still supposed to be in high school, going to prom and just having a good time. So I'm very happy with Cooper Cousins. That was one of my big takeaways from the offensive line, that he is going to be someone who can come in and make an impact early this coming season, but also a great piece of depth. And I think that's something we've had on the offensive line that Coach Trout, Coach Franklin, the guys in the room have said. Last year, we felt like we had a line too deep. Like we had five starters and then five guys behind them that we felt like could also play. And I think it's, somewhat shaping up to be similar. Now, it's definitely a younger offensive line, and we lost some of those veterans. But I'm excited for the depth that we have, because we know what it's like playing offensive line in the Big Ten. You do not get to keep that whole offensive line for this season, Jim. Those guys get banged up. It is rough going against Ohio State, going against now these USC, Washington. It's going to be a grueling season. So to have that depth on the offensive line, it's going to be extremely important. But I'm happy with what I saw, and I will say I kind of felt like my biggest takeaway is that Anthony Donka probably will take that right tackle position. Just from what I saw with Nolan Rucci, it just looked a little stiff, didn't look very fluid in pass pro, and I think kind of comparing that to what we saw with Anthony Donka in the Peach Bowl, where he was locking down some really talented edge rushers in a game that was obviously a lot more pressure than a blue and white game, and a longer game at that too, a lot more reps. Anthony Donka just looked a lot better off in pass pro and in the run game than Nolan Rucci. So I think there's still a competition there at right tackle, but I kind of see it shaping out with Anthony Donka there. And then obviously a little bit of competition too between Drew Shelton and Javen Williams. But I think Javen is still trying to, Coach Troutwine is still trying to sculpt him a little bit. He is someone who is still a little bit raw and was switching between guard and tackle. Kind of forced out to play tackle because of some injuries here, and just struggled a little bit in pass pro, like I said earlier. So, it's always good to have this spring game and have some nice film to look at in Beaver Stadium for these guys, so they can go into the summer and say, okay, here are the main three things I need to work on, or main two things I need to work on. And then you have all summer. You have, especially this coming up in May, when you have the whole month off as a player, and you can really start to sculpt that kind of going into next season. And it's up to you, because you have that month off. If you want to just chill and eat whatever you want and go that route, you can do that. Or if you're trying to make a real impact come week one, you're going to bust your butt. So I think that's where you see where fans don't get to see that separation that is created in competition for positions. It's a big part of that is summer. Are you grinding? Are you doing the right things? Are you in your playbook? So that's some of the things we're going to see throughout this summer. And I think we'll, come camp, we will see some of these competitions start to finish out, and we'll see some starters be selected, I guess you could say, by Coach Franklin. But I think we have a good idea where this offensive line is headed.
Let's circle back to Cooper Cousins, who, again, should be still in high school right now and got the opportunity here to play some of the veterans, either nicked up or just fifth, sixth year there. They don't need this. But I thought it said a lot that he was with that group at guard. And it wasn't too long until they pretty early in the game that they moved him over to center. Talk about having that ability to play both guard and center, the differences there, and the ability of a guy this young stepping right in and playing in with that group.
It's very difficult to play center and guard, or really switching up any positions on the offensive line, but it is much easier for a guy to go from tackle to guard or guard to tackle. When you're in that center position, it is very different. Number one, you're obviously snapping the ball, so you have to be able to snap and step and not mess up that snap. I mean, I was talking to Nick Dawkins about it. He was not very happy with his initial snap. His first snap went a little high, causing Drew Aller to kind of fumble it on the handoff. But it's Cooper Cousins came in. All his snaps were extremely clean. He did a fantastic job. And it's also hard because when you're at center, you are right over that ball. So when those nose tackles are right up against you. When you're at guard, you can get a little bit of space and then tackle even a little bit more space off the ball. Talking about just having some space to get some steps in the ground. When you're at center, that dude is right in your face. I mean, that contact is now. And it's also difficult for these young offensive linemen that, like we said, still supposed to be in high school. It's hard because it's such a physical game going against, 15, 16, 17 year olds. And now you flip it around. You're going against Smith Vilbert, who's 22 years old. Everybody knows that grown man strength is very different in that, 5-6 year period between 16 and 22. So for him to be able to even just hold his own, I think is very impressive in its own right. And then I think he had some clips where he was kind of manhandling some guys. So like I said, I am really excited about Cooper Cousins' versatility on this offensive line. I think he can kind of be that fourth guy at guard and then also the backup center, meaning, J.B. Nelson, Vega Ane, and Sal Wormley, kind of in a three-man rotation. If anybody gets hurt, I think Cooper can step in, and then also he'll get some good reps behind Nick Dawkins this coming year at center. He can play both. That is amazing. He's a big kid. He's versatile. And when the NFL draft comes, I know he's just a freshman, just got here, but being able to be versatile and play multiple positions on the offensive line is the number one thing that NFL scouts look for when they're looking at an offensive lineman, especially an interior one.
All right, Landon, that's good for quarter number one. I definitely wanted to hit your area of expertise first. That was the offensive line. Great review of that. When we come back, I'm going to ask you what else caught your eye in this game. We'll do that right after this.
This is Landon Tangwall. We've teamed up with F45 Training and State College and their team of certified coaches to bring you an exciting opportunity. Starting Monday, April 15th and running all the way through April 30th, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training and State College for 2 weeks for free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in group class environments. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress with their in-body scanning, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before the end of the month to take advantage of this limited offer. Go sign up now.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. He is Landon Tangwall. I am Jim Galante. Just a reminder, our new partners at F45 Training in Downtown State College, they have a special offer just for you Keystone Sports Network listeners. 2 weeks of classes for free. The timer starts after you take your first class. You have until the end of the month to do it. Fantastic bargain. And I always mention this in-body device where it measures everything, Landon. It just amazes me what that device can do. But the cool thing about it is it's then so good at measuring your progress as you work out. So check out F45. I will give you the phone number, 814-826-4045. If you have any questions, our good buddy JR is over there. He will take care of you. All right, Landon, it was blue-white weekend. In this long time, this 9 months we have between seasons, this is like that little bit of football that we get. So it was so much fun to have that and see it, even if it's not a full game, even if they're not playing a different team. We spent quarter number one with your area of expertise. We talked offensive line. Now I just want to kind of open things up to you. What stood out to you? A lot going on. What were the things that you'd like to point out?
Yeah, well, let's get into this. I got up pretty early this morning and I watched over the tape a couple different times and just kind of wrote down some things that stood out to me. And I went through a couple different times and watched specific guys. I talked earlier about watching Cooper Cousins the whole game through. One of the people I went and watched through, I think I did this because the fans are so interested, is Abdul Carter. Abdul, he had a great day yesterday, 2 sacks, 1 TFL, couple tackles. It was definitely a great day for Abdul and his first look at defensive end. Here's what I will say about that. I am not fully sold that he is going to be Chop or Adisa. I think that kind of watching it over again, there were times where Abdul really struggled with his hands and his hand usage. There were some times where he gave up on the pass rush too, where I thought he could have kept going and really try to bend that edge. And his sacks in that TFL, both of them came against, well, number one came against, you know, no offense to Henry Boehm. He's kind of a walk-on tackle. So Abdul wasn't really going, you know, wasn't even going against Javon Williams, let alone Drew Shelton or Nolan Rucci. He was going against a walk-on tackle. So number one, I think we need to put some credence in that. That's not the type of level of tackle play that Abdul's going to see all next season. On top of that, I felt like there was a lot of times where he was pretty much offsides when he was jumping that snap. I went back a couple times and I was kind of surprised they didn't call it, but timed it up really well. And kind of does what Chop Robinson does, where he loads up. You see him kind of dip down in his stance right at the snap and then explode out as the ball is being snapped. And the reason Abdul is able to do that so well against our team is because the D-line knows our snap count like the back of their hand. I had to deal with that for many years. PJ Mustafa was the most egregious offender of that ever. I will always stand on that. We call him Fats around here because he got a big old belly. That dude loved to jump the snap count. And he would say that, I don't know the snap count. I never knew it. I don't know what, you know, this word means. They know exactly what it all means. So Abdul was absolutely conscious of when the ball was being snapped. And, you know, if you go back and look, he was getting some crazy jumps on the ball, like I said, against a walk-on tackle. So I do think we need to take everything he did yesterday with a grain of salt. Now, I don't want to fully dump on him. He also showed incredible twitch, incredible burst, and incredible bend. That is definitely something to be really excited about. And I actually just broke down Chop Robinson's film with T-Frank that I'll be putting out. If anybody's listening to this, it should be on my YouTube channel, Behind the Wall. It's about 40 minutes. It's a really good breakdown, breaking down why Chop Robinson was so effective. And one thing that was a big takeaway about Chop Robinson is that he really wasn't that good with his hands. He won off of his burst and off of his bend every time. So saying all this to say, I do think Abdul can be very effective at defensive end without great hand usage. But to be that elite player, to be essentially what he wants to be, Micah Parsons, and he said in the post-game presser, I feel comfortable here. I'm finally get after the quarterback. And then he said at the end, this is how I'm going to make my money, Jim. So it was definitely a little bit of a motive for him to head to the defensive end because they get paid a lot more than those off-ball linebackers. And so to be one of those top 10 picks at defensive end, Abdul is going to have to put together a, you know, I think 10, 12 sack season to really convince an NFL team to take him that high as an edge rusher. And I just think he needs to refine those pass rush skills a little bit more. He needs to work on his hands a ton this offseason and this summer with Coach Deion Barnes. And I know he can absolutely do it. He is no doubt the most talented guy on the field when it comes to athleticism, his burst. He has incredible strength, and he did take on the run pretty well from what I saw. He also definitely looked like Chop Robinson in the run game as far as kind of dipping that shoulder down, trying to avoid blocks, and slipping into holes. Almost, you know, missed on a couple tackles, almost had a safety actually down by the goal line, barely missed a tackle that would have been a safety. So I'm very impressed with Abdul Carter's performance, but I just think when people see 2 sacks, a TFL, and they're like, oh my gosh, this guy is going to be Chop or Chop times 2. I would just say, take that all with a grain of salt. He He is a very talented player, but I want to see him against an elite offensive tackle and then also doesn't know exactly what the snap count is, and let's get those hands a little bit better. But so that's just kind of – I don't want to put a damper on anybody very excited about Abdul Carter, but I just do want to warn you, I don't want you guys to think that he is going to, you know, absolutely be the number one edge rusher in college football. It is going to take some time for him to get used to being at defensive end and lining up against a tackle for 60, 70 plays a game.
When you talk – well, first of all, I think it's funny that you accuse your defensive line of cheating on you there, Landon. We'll have to get one of them on so we could hear the other side of the story. But let's talk – you mentioned with Abdul Carter, the area you need to work on is his handwork. There are things like burst. You can't coach that. He's just a special athlete. But using his hands, how easy is that to learn? How easy is that to get better at?
Yeah, it takes a ton of repetition, and that it starts to become second nature, and that's when guys get good at their hands. When they see a offensive lineman throw their hands out to punch, and it is just second nature for them to swipe them down. And I think right now, because Abdul has never really played DN, he's always been an off-ball backer, it's not second nature. When he sees those hands shoot, it's not, okay, boom, swipe right away, or whatever move he wants to work. He's having to think about it and really come up with a plan. So I think just every single day going in and Abdul working on the bags, working that hand swipe, because that's going to be his game. I watched, like I said, I broke down Chop Robinson's tape, and once again, go check it out on my channel, Behind the Wall. He was beating people off the ball with his burst, and he wasn't really using too much hands. It was just a double hand swipe because he was already past them. All he had to do was just make sure they didn't get a great punch on him, and he was past them and then had an incredible bend. I think Chop has a little bit better bend than Abdul, but that's still to be seen. So I don't think Abdul needs to be great. He doesn't need to have these amazing hands. He doesn't need to be Max Crosby or TJ Watt, who is insane with their hands and technicians because of his athletic ability. He doesn't have to do that. But I think he needs to get a little bit better. And there were times where I saw him kind of just lean into the offensive tackle instead of trying to work a rip move or a swipe rip, different things. So I think if he can kind of advance his tool belt, so to speak, as far as pass rush moves, he can definitely take a big step forward, but it takes a ton of repetition to get used to it. It's the same thing offensive line play. A lot of guys, when they go to punch, their hands get outside, they kind of grab. It takes a ton of repetition to be used to say, I see a defensive end and he's in striking distance and I'm throwing my hands and striking him. You'd be surprised how much repetition that takes for your body to really be comfortable doing that. It is the same exact thing on the flip side. If you're at defensive end, you have to have just hours and hours and days stacked up of working those hands, repetition. And it's nice because it's something that you can work on. You can just grab another defensive lineman and say, hey, let's work our hands real quick and stand there stationary and just working that hands and then make it muscle memory. So once that becomes muscle memory for Abdul and he gets a little bit better with his hands, I think he can be scary. And I do think he can be a top 5, top 10 pick next year. But this summer, these next 3 months are going to be absolutely huge for Abdul Carter's progression at defensive end, working those hands, and also understanding, I've talked about this before, setting up pass rush moves. And what I mean by that is, say it's the first drive, and you start to work a couple edge rush moves, and you're really trying to bend that edge hard. So now you're saying, okay, this tackle, he knows I'm trying to bend this edge. Let me get him to really jump out, because he's trying to keep me from bending that edge. I keep trying to go around him. Well, I'm going to set this up where I fake to bend the edge and I spin back inside because I've set it up. I've put it in his mind that I keep going around him. Now I'm going to set up a spin move or maybe a jab outside and then cut back inside and try to rip up. So there's a lot that goes into being a detailed edge rusher. I think Adiz Isaac was really good at that, kind of setting up offensive tackles for different moves throughout the game. But like I said, I'm excited for Abdul Carter, and I just wanted to point that out. I didn't want fans to get too ahead of themselves with what he did on Saturday just because of who he was going against. And also, like I said, knowing the snap count, that's where his sacks really came from in that TFL. He had a fantastic jump on the ball. Not to say he won't be able to get that jump against other teams, but I'm curious to see how this development goes. And, him across the nine, if they can continue to improve, I think they can be what Denai and Chop were, or excuse me, what Adisa and Chop were this past season. But look, we led college football in sacks and TFLs, our defense needs to do that again. You know, this offense, I don't think we're going to be the number one offense in college football, nothing like that. So this defense, we're going to have to rely on them again. And, it, you know, that's one thing that Coach Tom Allen said is he's comfortable with just letting his four guys up front on that defensive line handle that pass rush. And you know what you have in Devon Elise, Hakeem Beamon, Zane Durant, those three guys, they're going to hold it down in the middle and they'll get some pressure from time to time. But it was Adisa and Chop last year that were really applying that pressure and making quarterbacks feel uncomfortable. We need Abdul Carter and Denai to do that this coming year. I think we know what we have in Denai. Abdul needs to keep developing, but obviously the most talented guy on the field when he steps on the field, Jim.
Okay, that is a great summary of Abdul Carter and what we'll be looking for. Hopefully he will put in all the work this summer. And as he said himself, that's how you get the payday. If he wants to be one of those very top elite picks in next year's draft, you do the work now. That is it for quarter number two, Landon. We've got a lot more to talk about. I want to ask you a lot of questions about a lot of different players. We're going to pick that up in quarter number three.
This is Landon Tangwall. We've teamed up with F45 Training and State College and their team of certified coaches to bring you an exciting opportunity. Starting Monday, April 15th and running all the way through April 30th, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training and State College for 2 weeks for free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in group class environments. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress with their in-body scanning, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before the end of the month to take advantage of this limited offer. Go sign up now.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Landon Tangwall. It is quarter number three of our show. We're taking a look at our Penn State blue-white game from the past weekend and quarter number one. Landon gave us his evaluation of the offensive line. We spent quarter number two talking about Abdul Carter, his position switch to defensive end, and the couple things he needed to work on there. While we're talking defensive end, let's stick with the defensive line. Landon, your thoughts. Again, as an offensive lineman, you know those guys pretty well. You face them. Through the last couple of years, what else did you see? What were the highlights and lowlights from the D-line?
Yeah, I mentioned that I did the pregame show up in the press box before the game for Blue and White, and I gave two guys I was really excited about for the day, one on offense and one on defense. On offense, I said Caden Saunders, and on defense, I said Jameel Lyons. And I think Jameel had an absolutely fantastic day at defensive end. He got a really nice sack that I'm actually going to be breaking down. It'll be up on my channel over within the next day on YouTube. But I'm going to do a little bit of a breakdown with him and me and T Frank on Jameel Lyons and the day that he had yesterday. Had a really, you know, really effective with his hands. He has a great swipe, and that feel that I was talking about with Abdul Carter, where it's not like completely natural yet for him to just see offensive lineman hands and automatically swipe them. I think that's what Jameel Lyons does have. It seemed like there were so many times where he was very close to that quarterback, whether it was coming off the edge, when he got the sack, it was actually him coming inside kind of on a little bit of a stunt against Addison Penn at guard, and he just swiped his hands down, got to the quarterback. It was absolutely beautiful. Also looked really strong in the run game. He was setting that edge hard. A couple pullers hit him, and it looked like they did not enjoy hitting him, Jim. He is a thick dude, and he, you know, he's big. He's 6'5". Looks like he's about 250, 260. And this is someone I think can really, and what I would compare him to is Denai last year. I think it's going to be Abdul and Denai starting at defensive end. But when you think about it, Denai would come in and really spell Adisa or Chop last year. I think that's the role that Jameel is going to play this year, coming in, especially in pass rush situations, and being that third defensive end that the team can really count on that, hey, if, you know, Chop was hurt for a couple games, I think Adisa was out for maybe a game or two. It, having Jameel this year as just some really good defensive end depth, I think is going to be fantastic. And I think, once again, another guy, you know, obviously we have Chop this year. It's looking like we'll have the Denai and Abdul going in the draft this coming year that I think they both could go in the first round. This is someone I'm looking at and saying, hey, I think in a year or two time, this kid could go in the first round. He has that talent, Jim, and he can be Penn State's next premier edge rusher. I don't think it'll specifically be this season. I think we'll see flashes as he starts to grow. But I think as we get into his junior year in 2025, I think he will be the guy for Penn State off the edge. So I'm really excited about Jameel Lyons. Like I said, if you're interested in seeing some of that tape, head over to my channel Behind the Wall. I will have a little film breakdown of him that I'm putting out later this afternoon. This is Sunday right now, so it should be out by the time anybody listens to this. But I'm also really excited about Amin Vanover. This is someone who's been here for a little while. He's a fifth-year guy and gotten a little bit of burn over the years, but really talented edge rusher as far as how detailed his pass rush moves are, Jim. He has really good hands, but my favorite thing about him is, and I can attest to this, I hated going against Amin because he was so good at setting you up to thinking he was going outside and around you, and he would hit you with the nastiest spin move or inside juke and swipe those hands, and it was just a menace to go against. So, and that's actually how he got his sack yesterday on Saturday. He set someone up outside, hit a lethal spin move on him, and boom, he was right there at the quarterback. So I will say one of my big takeaways from Blue and White on Saturday is that we have fantastic defensive end depth. So I think that's something that the fans can be excited about, and that's something we've had in the past. So kind of to see that continue on, one, I think, is a testament to Coach Franklin and his recruiting, how well he's done, especially at that defensive line position. But also shout out to Coach Deion Barnes for having these guys ready. I mean, this is a young coach, just got the gig last year, and it seems like he has his guys prepared, Jim, and ready to go with depth, with their hands. Like I said, get in with Abdul Carter, keep working there, keep working with the young guys. But I'm excited about this defensive line group, where I think there might have been a little bit of some question marks where, you know, we're losing two guys that are going to go pretty high in the draft, huge impact guys in those big games in Michigan, in Ohio State. Can we fill those voids? And I think the answer is yes. And we're filling those voids with depth, Jim, which is huge over the span of a whole Big Ten season. We know how guys get banged up. So to be able to have someone you can plug in, I think is awesome for this Penn State defense. And I know Coach Tom Allen is really excited about the depth he has at defensive line.
Well, it's interesting in talking about the defensive ends, losing the two starters to the NFL and still feel like you've got both high quality and quantity. You have the depth there also. Mm. And that's my way of segueing to the cornerbacks, okay, where you've got this similar situation where you have three guys who are going to be NFL players who have left, and now what did you see? Did you see enough? And in particular, I thought A.J. Harris made a very strong impression. Give me what your takeaways were from the cornerbacks.
Yeah, that was definitely my biggest takeaway. I thought A.J. Harris had a fantastic day. Was pretty physical in the run game, too, coming down. You know, I think Zion Tracy also had a good day. It seemed like anytime the ball was thrown his way, he was there, and he was making that that no-fly zone signal that we do that Joey Porter actually started here. And he actually took to the Pittsburgh Steelers, as you can see. If you're watching this video, I got the terrible towel behind me. A big Steelers fan, so I was really happy we got Joey. But he created that standard, really, for these defensive backs, these cornerbacks here at Penn State. And I think we got some really talented dudes, Jim. One dude I do want to point out who is actually a walk-on and is the brother of Khalil Dinkins. Colin Dinkins was playing in that nickel cornerback position for the blue team. Obviously, we know Jalen Reed was out this game and wasn't really playing. He's going to be playing that nickel position. But it's not often you see someone have that much of an impact who's especially a walk-on. I was really excited about this kid, Colin Dinkins. He had some really great pass breakups. He was sticking to Caden Saunders like glue for a while out of that slot position, and then was very unlucky. He had that pick six. They called it dead because there was a sack before it, but that's great instincts. He broke on the ball. I believe, I'm not sure, I think it was Drew Aller that threw the ball. And he took it home for a pick six if they didn't call it a sack. So it's kind of a little surprise out of nowhere. Colin Dinkins had a great day yesterday. I'm kind of excited about him. But going back to those main cornerbacks, Jalen Kimber, A.J. Harris, Cam Miller, Zion Tracy, I was saying earlier, excuse me. Those guys, they all looked pretty good. I don't think I sat there and said, like these wide receivers are, you know, absolutely burning them. They all looked pretty solid. So I don't think there was too much of a separation of who's going to absolutely be the starter. I do think A.J. Harris probably had the best day and made the best case to lock up kind of a starting position heading into the summer. And I do want to talk about that real quick. That's why the spring game is so important to people that are really in competition for a position. Because now, if you have a great spring game, the coaches are looking at that and they're going to say, okay, what is our depth? What is the depth chart heading into the summer? And they're going to base a lot of that off of the spring game. And if you're a number one headed into the summer, it is going to create a ton of confidence when there is, you know, you do 150 walkthroughs throughout the summer. If you're running with those ones every single time, it is going to be, you're going to put that in your mindset. I am a one. I'm a starter. I need to prepare like that. If you're with the twos, sometimes those guys can start to feel a little sorry for themselves, get angry. Why am I not getting reps with the ones? That type of thing. So I think that's why so many guys put a ton of credence into blue and white, because they want to feel good going into the summer, Jim. They want to say, hey, I get to run with the ones. I am a starter. And that's just, like I said, it affects your whole game, and that can affect your camp and how you perform in camp. So, you know, I think it's still a big mix-up at quarterback. I am excited to see how that fares, and it's going to be a big fight throughout summer camp and fall camp to see who really comes away with those two starting positions. And obviously looking like we're going to have Jalen Reed in that slot nickel cornerback, what we call the lion position here at Penn State. So I'm excited, Jim, but I think we have this seems to be the theme, and it is something that Coach Franklin always talks about and that he says he wants on all his teams. We have a ton of depth at cornerback and guys that are competing, making each other better. And if whoever takes these roles, whether it's A.J. Harris, whether it's Zion Tracy, Cam Miller, whoever steps up and is the starter, whoever is behind them is very capable of stepping in and making a great impact and kind of holding their own against any wide receivers out in the Big Ten. So I'm excited to see how this cornerback positions continue to evolve and who's going to be the starter. But I would say the winner of the day at the cornerback position was A.J. Harris for sure, Jim.
You talk about going into the summer as a one, you know, being told that you're the starter. Is that how it works? Like after spring practice? Now, James Franklin has talked about talking to every player, I guess a half hour session, whatever. Is that typically what happens? You get told, hey, Landon, you are right now a number one. You are the starter.
Coach Franklin will be honest with you in those what we call exit meeting interviews. You come in with a piece of paper that you've already filled out. And it has a ton of questions on it that you're filling out, stuff about the team, stuff about yourself, where you feel like you are. And he will go over the paper with you, and he is going to be honest. These meetings, they're not there to spare any feelings. It is to have a complete understanding heading into the summer. This is where you are at. This is where we're expecting you to be at. And, you know, this is what we need from you. So those meetings are very crucial heading into the summer to basically give you a good understanding of, hey, this is what I need to do. Either I need to lose weight, or I need to work on my hands, or I need to, you know, get my hands tighter in run blocking, that type of thing. So it's very nice to have those exit meeting interviews to get a good understanding of where you were at on the depth chart, the main things that these coaches feel like you need to work on. And then, like I said, you can take that, or you can have the summer and chill and go by the pool and eat Cheetos all day, or you can take that criticism and go work on it and get better. And then come fall camp, you're ready to go. So there's both sides of it, but I think those exit meeting interviews, I was always a big fan of, because it was so honest and it's clear that Coach Franklin's not there trying to pat your back and say, you know, you did real well. He is letting you know what he expects from you and what you need to improve on in those meetings.
All right. Very good, Landon. That is going to be it for quarter number three. It's going to be interesting in particular this season for those exit meetings at Penn State, when you have 90-some scholarship players and you've got to get it down to 85. That is it for quarter three. Stick around. We've got more to go with quarter four.
This is Landon Tangwall. We've teamed up with F45 Training and State College and their team of certified coaches to bring you an exciting opportunity. Starting Monday, April 15th, and running all the way through April 30th, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training in State College for 2 weeks for free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in group class environments. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress with their in-body scanning, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before the end of the month to take advantage of this limited offer. Go sign up now.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon. I am Jim. It's quarter number four of our show. Landon, a couple areas on offense that have been getting a lot of attention. I want to get your opinion, your take on them. Let's start at running back, where both Nick Singleton and Catron Allen sat this out. The question became, who's going to be the third running back? And it's going to be, it looks like it's a real position battle. This was the time for someone to lay down their marker to show what they could do. There's three young guys that we were seeing. One, Cam Wallace, London Montgomery, who are both in their second year here, and then Quentin Martin, who we heard a lot about. What did you see from those three players?
Yeah, I think first off, Cam Wallace had a fantastic spring ball. Being around, not just talking about the spring game, but in practice, he was really impressing the coaches. Left a lasting impact on Coach Sider and on Coach Franklin. So they're definitely not going to forget about that. And he is a hard runner, Jim. There was a couple times where he had two, three guys on him in the spring game, and he was keeping those legs moving. That's the type of thing you want to see, that Catron Allen type feel. I'm really excited about Cam Wallace and what he provides to this team. But my favorite, and I think everybody's favorite, to be this number three running back is Quentin Martin. He is very versatile, but he has that speed, man. He was taking over Western PA football throughout his high school career. He was the type of kid would go out there, four or five touchdowns. You could count on it every night. Transition, get to college football. It is, you know, been here for, what, 2-3 months? And he comes out in the spring game, and now he had some good blocking. I think he definitely owes the offensive line a couple sweet treats or something like that. But saw some really good explosion from him. I'm excited about what we have in Quentin Martin. And then from my understanding, too, he was also working a little bit at the slot wide receiver position. And I'm excited to see how Andy Kotoniki could utilize that. Because if he's someone that can get some reps at slot and running back, you can do a lot with that, meaning, you know, we saw a speed option by Bo Prabula early in the first drive where he was basically running and had the option to either pitch or continue to go, and it kind of wasn't a very good play. But I think there's a lot of variations that you can do with a slot wide receiver and get creative. And actually, T. Frank had asked Kaden Saunders, how much of the offense do you think we really saw today? And Kaden Saunders' answer was about 5% of the offense. So I really don't think we got to see how Andy Kotoniki is going to utilize these guys. But one of my big takeaways that I wrote on my notepad was Andy Kotoniki needs to find a way to get Quentin Martin involved in this offense this coming year. It's difficult when you kind of get buried at that number three running back position, but maybe get him in the slot. And we talked about all the read options we're doing. Put him in an orbit motion where he's coming around Drew. Drew can fake the handoff to Nick, pull it, and then he's got Quentin running with him on essentially now a speed. It's really a triple option, but running a speed option. Drew can keep it, pitch it to him. There's a lot of stuff that you can kind of get fancy with. So I'm excited to see how Kotoniki's going to utilize Quentin Martin, but I think especially after seeing what we saw in the spring game, he definitely needs to be utilized this upcoming season. And kind of staying on that topic of Andy Kotoniki, someone asked Drew Aller about about kind of the differences that he's seen in Andy Kotoniki's offense. And one thing that Drew said was, I didn't realize how much you can put a defense at a disadvantage just with pre-snap motion, just with moving guys around, you can dictate what the defense is going to do. Because when you watch film, you can say, okay, you can kind of get a feel for the rules of the defense. And when I say rules of a defense, I mean the linebackers. When they have, say, a tight end, it goes in motion from one side of the line to the other. They have to respect that. They have to shift over, or if there's a wide receiver in motion on the snap, these safeties, these linebackers, a nickel cornerback, they have to bump over. They have to respect all of that. So we didn't really see a ton of it yesterday. I think we wanted to, you know, Andy Kotarnicki and Coach Franklin wanted to keep that under wraps. But it seems like we're going to see constant moving pre-snap motion by this Penn State offense. So that's something, obviously, now we have to wait 3 more months to see. Jim didn't really get to see any of it. But it sounds like we only caught a tiny glimpse of Andy Kotarnicki's offense, which, hey, keeps me excited and keeps these fans on the edge of their seat wanting more from Andy Kotarnicki. And like Caden Saunders said, 5%, I'm ready to see this other 95%, Jim.
I think T. Frank has brought it up a lot also, that motion and shifting pre-snap will be important. And if you watch the telecast of the game, often what you hear from the analysts, they're repeating or quoting what they're hearing from the coach. And I believe one of the references or the way they put the quote was, the offense owns the time between the end of the previous play and the snap of the next play, meaning they control it. And that seems to be real emphasis from Andy Kotarnicki, that I will, not only will I own it, I'm going to take advantage of that ownership, and I'm going to put your defense in distress by moving people around, Landon.
You're absolutely right, Jim. The offense now has that ability to put that stress on the defense, and we've seen it in the NFL. We've seen Kyle Shanahan, we've seen Andy Reid do a great job of you know, saying, hey, we have that advantage. We get to do all this stuff pre-snap, and we get to keep them guessing. So I think if Andy Kotarnicki can continue to be creative and now has a lot more talent than he had at Kansas, I think he's licking his chops headed into this summer of even designing some more plays and some more fun stuff that we're going to see. And honestly, I can't say exactly what it is, but there are some cool stuff that I have heard that's going on that we're gonna be putting in that I'm really excited. I know that's kind of, fans are going to get mad at me for that one, but trust me, there is some good stuff coming Penn State's way on offense. But switching over to those, we're talking about the skill positions. Let's take a look at those wide receivers, Jim. And everybody was really excited to get a look at Julian Fleming. I think he had one or two catches. So it wasn't, you know, somewhat of a quiet day for him. And he was on the blue team, which was clearly, it's always the blue team is normally the ones. They thought they were going to pull a little switcheroo on us, Jim, and just make the white team the ones. I don't think anybody fell for it, and neither did the scoreboard. So I don't think Julian Fleming was in the best situation there. But overall, it seems like the coaches throughout this whole spring ball have been really impressed with him. And what Drew Aller said in his press conference was that Julian Fleming has really been pushing these wide receivers to get extra work, to continue to stay on those jugs machines, whatever you can do. And I actually got to speak to Julian about this. Over at Ohio State, they really don't have any in-person classes. So they are in there and they get to be in the facility all day. You handle your work at a different time. And so he is coming from a program where it is really, I mean, it's essentially a pro football program, and they are focused on football. At Penn State, we put a little more credence in our school, in our academics, Jim. But I think that's a good impact to have on these young wide receivers, someone bringing them along and saying, hey, let's go get some extra work. Let's go run some extra routes, get on the jugs machine. We have these $10,000 really cool jugs machines that look like they're out of Transformers, Jim. So I think Julian Fleming is getting them to utilize that stuff a little bit more. Putting that aside, I said Caden Saunders was one of my guys I was looking to make a big impact, especially with Keandre Lambert-Smith kind of out on the ropes. We don't know exactly what's on with that. Don't want to fully speculate, but seems like he's on his way out. Caden Saunders can provide a really big spark out of the slot position. He had a big 30-yard catch and had a couple times that he had a step on. I mentioned earlier Colin Dinkins, who was did a pretty good job covering him. There's a couple times that the quarterbacks missed him where it felt like he was open for a touchdown or a big gain. But had the only touchdown in the Ohio State game last year. I'm excited to see how we can continue to develop. He is a shifty dude out of that slot position. So that's someone that can really help Drew Aller out. But my biggest takeaway from this wide receiver group is that Trey Wallace can be a clear-cut number one wide receiver. He has sure hands. He's going to bring in the ball. We saw him probably would have had a long touchdown there if it wasn't for that pass interference. He had a couple steps on that defender. Coach Franklin, I saw him on the sideline. He grabbed Trey, and he said, man, you got to make that play next time, kind of joking with him because he got caught up, and Trey was laughing. So clearly a good day for Trey. He was very happy with his day. But that is having a receiver that's going to help Drew Aller out, go up, get those 50-50 balls. If Drew's not perfect, having a wide receiver say, hey, I will save you, man. I'll go up. I'll help you out. I can go down. Whatever you need, throw the ball up. I'm going to go get it. We know what we have in Tyler Warren. I think Trey Wallace can be that number one dude for Drew Aller and kind of be that safety blanket. So I'm really excited about that. And then taking a look at the tight ends too. I think Joey Schlaufer, no one has talked about, had a really good day. He had a couple short receptions throughout the day, just got upfield, got his yardage, but it looked like he was comfortable and can kind of be that number three tight end. And we've seen Penn State, we put three tight ends out there more than any other college team I've ever seen. So we talked about before about Khalil Dinkins being important, being that number two guy. Well, shoot, Jim, I'm even looking at the number three guy on the tight end depth chart, which we thought there's definitely going to be a little bit of competition with Andrew Rapoyer, Luke Reynolds, the five-star tight end. My big takeaway from Luke Reynolds is that I don't think he's just ready yet. Still looks a little confused and not all the way there, which really is to be expected for someone that's still supposed to be in high school. And I would say to these fans, if there's anybody that just got here that yesterday, you're like, hey, they look a little lost. That is how it should be. That's the expectation for these guys that have been in college for 2-3 months to look a little lost. If it's someone like Quentin Martin out there excelling, that is the exception. Like that's how you know someone is going to be a baller if they excel in spring ball. So I definitely wouldn't put too much credence into that. But I would say Luke Reynolds needs a little bit more time to develop. They gave Tyler Warren the day off. He was chilling on the sidelines, having a good time. We no need to put him out there for the spring game. But once again, another tight end group. And Jim, I'm saying the word again, depth. We have depth at the tight end position. We have depth all around this team. That is exciting for Coach Franklin heading into the season because depth creates competition. It creates the ability that if guys are injured, if guys need to take a breather during the game, I have no quandaries, no doubts about putting his backup in for a couple plays or filling in for a couple games if he's injured because we have that depth, we have prepared guys, and we know what we have behind, you know, just talking D-line, cornerbacks, offensive line, tight ends, great depth, running back. We have that built in, so I'm excited for this Penn State team. We just need these stars, there's a couple stars that we lost. We need these guys to step up. Tony Rojas, Deni Dennis Sutton, Jalen Reed and Kevin Winston continue to be great back there. We saw Zakee Wheatley with a pick. I'm really excited about getting those three guys on the field. And Tom Allen said, actually one of his pressers, that he made it a point, hey, we need to get these three guys all on the field at once. They weren't all on the field at once last year. They have found a way to do that with Jalen Reed playing that nickel position. I'm excited for this defense. Like I said earlier, it led the nation in sacks, in TFLs, and pressures. Let's see if they can do it again and help out this offense, Jim.
All right, Landon, that's going to have to be it. Thanks for the evaluation. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
This is Landon Tangwall. We've teamed up with F45 Training and State College and their team of certified coaches to bring you an exciting opportunity. Starting Monday, April 15th and running all the way through April 30th, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training and State College for 2 weeks for free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in group class environments. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress with their in-body scanning, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before the end of the month to take advantage of this limited offer. Go sign up now.